Good morning. Welcome to Atlanta Chinese Christian Church North. We're so excited that you have come to worship our awesome God with us this morning. So if this is your first time with us, towards the end of our worship service, I want to invite you to introduce yourselves to us. We would love to have the opportunity to get to know you and welcome you. Or perhaps you have already been here a number of times, but you have never introduce yourself to us. We would ask that today you would do so. And once again, welcome to our church. We would love to get to know you more. I have a few announcements to make. So first of all, this coming Friday night is our annual church mission night. So I want to invite you guys to come and be a part of it. So it will begin at 8 o'clock right here. A number of people from our congregation, they will be sharing what they have learned from their summer short-term mission trips. So please come, hear what God has been doing in our midst and through us. I think you will be encouraged to hear what God is doing. And so that is the first thing. That's this coming Friday night. Please come and join us. The other thing that I want to tell you is that we have been encouraging the whole church to read through the Bible. And next Sunday, we want to take the opportunity to acknowledge and to encourage those of you who have been doing it. And so if you have been reading your Bible, please contact Elder Leonard or our Christian education deacon, Kathy. You can turn in your Bible reading schedule, the ones that you have completed to them. And so next Sunday, we want to take this opportunity to encourage you and to acknowledge you. I know that you guys did not do this to be recognized, but I think that if you would let us know, that would really help us in our effort to encourage you in reading the Bible. This will also help us to evaluate how we are doing in this effort. All right, so on our church website, we have four different Bible reading plans that you can use. Or maybe you are using your own. Whichever one you are using is fine. All right, so please do let us know. I think that when the rest of the people in the church know how many people are doing this, they will be encouraged and that they will be challenged to do so as well. Okay? And one more thing is that on September the 10th, this is a Saturday, a few weeks from today, we will be having an access seminar. And so the Asian Christian Counseling and Educational Seminar Services will be providing a seminar on transitioning well for our church. So this will take place on Saturday, September the 10th, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., right, so from 6 to 7, we're going to have potluck. Okay, so come and join us. This will be on the second floor of our church building. And then from 7 to 9, we will be having this seminar. We have a flyer printed. More information you will find, especially regarding the two guest speakers. You can read about their credentials and their experiences. And so we want to invite you to come. And also on the bottom of this flyer, you will find a registration form. So if you guys will fill that part out, tear it off, okay, you can either turn it in to Victor, our fellowship deacon over there. Victor, can you raise your hand? Okay, or to Rebecca, who is the director for Access, all right? Or you can turn it in our church office. Access has an inbox in our church office. All right, and if you cannot find both of them, you can either talk to Elder Leonard or talk to me. We'll be happy to take the registration form. This will help us to know how many people are coming and how much food we are to prepare, how much material we need to prepare for the seminar. And this is a free seminar open to anybody, so please feel free to invite your friends to come and join us, okay? Because we all go through transitions in life. How do we transition well? That is the question. So I think that you will find this seminar to be very practical and very helpful. And so once again, we want to invite you to come and join us on September the 10th. Now this morning, I want to share with you the journey of faith, Because our whole life really is a journey of faith. And on this journey, we will encounter many things that will put our faith in God to the test. So our faith in God either gets refined and becomes stronger, or our faith in God becomes weaker and gets destroyed. And very often these tests come to us during times of transitions, when we encounter changes in our lives. And some of these transitions can be very good things. For example, many of you have started school, right? Many of you have transitioned into junior high or to high school or to college or even graduate school. And so as you are growing up, you are moving up. And that is a good change. That is a good transition, right? Because you don't want to stay in the same grade for the rest of your life. Okay, for some of us, we have encountered transition at our workplaces. Okay, good things would be you get a promotion, right? You have been doing a good job. You have proven yourself to be capable. And so they give you more responsibility. And of course, this is good if you get a pay raise too, right? Or else we call that cheap labor. That is not a good transition. Okay? Now, some of you have found the love of your life. And so, you know, after a period of dating or courtship, you have decided, you know, this is the person that I want to spend the rest of my life with. So you're getting ready to start your own family. And that is a good transition. Okay, many of our young adults, you're pregnant. Some of you have become first-time parents. Now, that is a good transition. Okay, but there are also changes in our lives that are not so good. For those of us who are getting older, we realize that we are losing energy, stamina, we're losing our health, right? We realize that we can no longer do what we used to do. Okay, so whether this is happening to you or to somebody you know, this is a difficult transition, right? Some of us have lost our loved ones, whether through natural causes or to accidents. This is not an easy transition for us. Even though we know that this happens, sooner or later, every one of us will encounter something like that. We know this is a part of life, but it's not an easy thing for us to go through. And I think that even in the church, things can happen. People can come and go, and very often it can cause us a lot of anxiety and inconveniences. All right, and so some of these things, you know, are not what we would prefer or desire, but they do happen. And so transitions happen all the time. And so this morning I want to share with you why does God allow transitions to happen, and how can we cope with the transitions in our lives. And where do we go from here as a church? So why does God allow transitions to happen? Well, I want to invite you to look at the Bible, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. And I want to invite you to read this passage together with me. All right, are you guys ready? Let us read. You may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So you see, according to this passage, the Bible tells us that God allows transitions to happen in our lives in order to refine our faith, to make sure that we have a faith that is real. A faith that will result in praise, glory, and honor to God. Now, in this passage, the Bible uses an imagery of a goldsmith refining gold through fire. Devin, can you help me? Yeah, there we go. Okay. And so in this process of refinement, gold is heated by fire. Now, when gold gets heated, it melts. And when it is melted, all the impurities within the gold would flow to the surface. And so what a goldsmith would do is that once the impurities are spotted, the goldsmith would scoop away the impurities. And so supposedly when the gold is truly refined, the goldsmith would know by just looking at that gold. Because when it is pure and refined, the gold will be able to reflect the image of the goldsmith. And so in a very similar fashion, God allows trials or difficulties or challenges or changes or transitions or even crises to come to our life. Okay, this is like the goldsmith adding fire to the gold. And so that the impurities of our faith would actually surface and be revealed to us. And so that if we are willing, God will remove these impurities from our faith. And so when that is done, when our faith is refined, when our faith becomes more pure, more mature, more strong, then we will be able to reflect God's image and God's glory in our life more clearly. And so when this happens, when our faith grows, when it gets refined, when it becomes more pure, that's when God will receive praise, honor, and glory from our lives. And so one transition that we are currently going through as a church is my decision to not stay after my term ends at the end of this month. And so with the remaining time, I want to share with you how God is using this transition to test and refine my faith and possibly yours as well, and how we should cope with this transition. And so in this June, I preached a sermon from Genesis chapter 22 from the life of Abraham. And then from that passage, we learned that sometimes God would ask us to give up what is the most precious to us in order to test our faith in Him. And when the test comes, the question becomes, do we fear God and trust God enough to do whatever He asks of us? And God does this so that our faith will become more refined, so that our faith will become stronger. Okay, God does this to reveal to us how much do we really fear Him and how much do we really trust Him. And when we freely offer to God what is the most precious to us, that is when we will experience God's amazing provision in our life. And as a result, we will come to know God more deeply and more intimately. And so when I was preparing this message back in May, okay, I sensed very clearly that God was going to test my faith in Him by asking me to give up something that has been that has become very precious to me. And so I had no doubt this test was coming my way. Okay, I just didn't know when it would happen and how it would happen. And so the question for me at that time was, when this does happen, do I fear God and trust God enough to do what I know that He is asking me to do? Okay, does my faith have enough substance to result in real actions? And when I sensed this, I also knew that whatever this test may be, okay, it may be the most difficult test that I have yet to face in my life. And I know that I would not come to experience God's provision until I truly surrendered and offer up to Him freely what has become the most precious to me. And so two important things happened in June. Okay, one was that I was being evaluated by our church for my past 4 years of ministry here. And the other thing was that my mother called one day And she told me that she has become more worried about my father's health because he was clearly getting worse. And so for the very first time in my life and in the past 3 years, most of you know that my dad has been treated for his cancer for the past 3 years. So for the very first time, my mother actually requested help. And if you would know my mother, she is a tough lady. She would rather carry all the burdens on her own rather than ask me for any help. And so when I got that phone call, I knew this was something very serious. Okay, and that's when it became very clear to me that this test of faith has to do with surrendering my identity and my ministry here at ACCCN. Now, like most men, I derive my identity and my significance from what I do. And so for the past 4 years, I have had the privilege and honor to serve you as your pastor. This has become something that I was very proud of, something I truly enjoyed, something that has become very, very precious to me. And so even though the church gave me a very good evaluation in June and offered to extend another term to me, it was clear to me that it was time for me to surrender my ministry here and move back to be with my parents. It was time for me to fulfill my responsibility and privilege as a son to my parents so I can better care for them in their old age. Now, when we moved here 4 years ago, we were planning on staying here for a long time. And that's why towards the end of our first year here, we bought a house because we wanted you guys to know that we are here to stay. Okay, we were not here just temporarily. We purposely bought a house with an extra bedroom in anticipation that, you know, my parents would come and visit us so we can always have a bedroom for them, or if they decide to stay here with us long term, we can accommodate them. But unfortunately, right after we moved into our house, my father was diagnosed with cancer. And so this whole time, they never got a chance to come here and visit us. But by God's grace, my father's condition was relatively stable. Only since the beginning of this year, we begin to observe some significant changes in the negative direction. And so once again, the question for me at that time was, would I give up a vibrant and growing ministry here, okay, a very nice and comfortable living environment, a loving, a wonderful church family, and so I can do what I know is the right thing at this point in my life, okay, which is to honor my parents by taking care of them now that they are in need. And so as I wrestled with this question, God challenged me with readings from the discipleship group that I was leading a few months ago. And David, I'm going to need some help again. Thank you. All right, and I want to show you a few quotes that I read in our discipleship group from the workbook called Experiencing God. And these quotes just kept on challenging me. Let me show you the first one. This quote says that what you believe about God will determine what you do. And when God tells you what he wants to do through you, you will face a crisis of belief. What you do next reveals what you believe. All right? Your action will demonstrate how much you really believe, how much you trust God, how much you fear him. The next quote says, David. Obedience indicates faith in God, and disobedience often reveals a lack of faith. Okay, so whether I choose to obey God or not would reveal whether I have faith or not. And the next quote, what you do reveals what you believe about what you believe about God, regardless of what you say. And I think that, you know, most of us, we've been in church for a long time, right? We all know what the right answer is when people ask us something. So very often we can say all the right things, even in the church, right? We can sing, God, I love you, I trust you, all we want. But the real test comes when something happens in our life. What do we actually do? Okay, so our actions will reveal the true substance or the quality of our faith, if you would. And then one more quote. You demonstrate your faith by what you do, and your adjustments and obedience will be costly to you and to those around you. And so each of these quotes challenge me in a very real and in a very intense way, that it is time for me to lay down my ministry here and do what is right before God. Okay, to go home, take care of my parents, trust God to lead and to provide. And so I was very clear that God issued a challenge to me. And so the question becomes, would I obey him? Okay, because what I choose to do will reveal what I believe about him. And so once again, does my faith have enough substance to result in real actions? Or am I just all talk? And the most difficult part for me was this very last quote, okay, where it talks about the cost of obedience. It's not only for me personally, but also to the people around me. Now, I'm okay with paying the cost of obedience, no problem. Okay, and I think my wife, Jackie, she is mature enough to be okay with it too. It was a little bit difficult for me that my girls would have to face what we have to face, even though the good thing is that they're still young, so they don't quite get what is going on. But I think for me, the most difficult part, okay, the hardest thing for me to accept is that means you guys, you're around me, okay, you guys would have to pay the cost for my obedience as well. And that was extremely difficult for me to accept. And then so this was certainly one of the most difficult decisions that I have to make in my life. And so how can I cope with this transition, okay, with the transition that comes with this decision? And how can you cope with this? Next slide, please. Thank you. And so this morning, I don't have a whole lot of time. I want to share three simple things with you, but I want to invite you to come to the Access Seminar on September 10th. Okay, you will learn so much more on that day. But this morning, I want to talk about three very simple things that has helped me, and I hope that it will help you. And so first of all, I had to accept the reality of this transition. Okay, intellectually, I knew what the right thing to do was. And as Jackie and I have talked about it, Jackie has been very supportive of what we needed to do. But emotionally, it was very difficult, as I have mentioned to you. Why do my girls have to pay the cost? Or why do you have to pay the cost as well? Okay, and so this was something that I have to learn to accept. This is a reality. Okay, I can either live in denial or I can face it and accept it, no matter how difficult it was. And I think for you was the same thing. Most of you were shocked when I informed you of my decision. I had no doubt that some of you were hurt and even disappointed. But I think that in the last month or so, many of us have worked through our feelings. Many of you have come up to us and expressed your heartfelt emotions to us, and we really appreciate that. And so I think that many of us had worked through these feelings that we had. And I think that many of you have come to an understanding, and you have expressed your support for my decision, and I really do appreciate that. But not only did I need to learn how to accept the reality of it, I also have to make a lot of adjustments because of it. And so there were many things that I had to think about, okay, many things that I had to do in order to adjust. For example, right, we all know that economy is really bad, right? It doesn't seem like it's going to get any better anytime soon. And of course, this is not a good time to change job, if you would. Forgive me for putting it this way, right? And so to have a job in this economy is a blessing, right? You don't change jobs right now. That's not a wise thing to do. And so, of course, you know, a very practical thing, I have a family to support. I need to ask myself, now, is that a wise thing to do at this time? What if I don't find a new church soon? How am I going to support my family? Okay, I can always move back with my parents, but the difficulty is, you know how Chinese parents are, right? No matter how old you are always their children. Okay, even though I'm 42 years old, I have my own family, they still treat me like their son, right? So if I were to move home with them and I don't have a job, right, that would freak them out, right? They would be worried, oh my God, you don't have a job, how are you going to support your family? And so instead of being helpful to them, we would actually cause them more worry and stress. Okay, and so that's why we still haven't have a clear date of when we are moving back yet, because we don't want to give them more stress, and definitely not a good thing for my dad at this time. I think about my girls. How about their education? Janet has been going to preschool for the past almost 2 years, and she has come to love her school. She has good teachers there. She has good friends there. You know, Joni began to go to preschool this summer, and it took the whole summer for she to adjust well. For us to make this change, that means that we have to change schools for them. You know, how would that impact them? Will we be able to find another school that they like? You know, so all of these questions and uncertainties that we have to deal with. And of course, many of you have been asking us, what are we going to do with our house? You know, are we ready to take a big loss if we were to put it on the market and sell it? Okay, that to me was almost like a literal cost of obedience. Okay, if I were to move, that's the cost that I'm going to have to pay. And what about the church? How do I plan this transition out so I can minimize the impact on you guys? Okay, so all of these things I had to think about, these were the adjustments that I needed to make. And I think for many of you, you also had to make a lot of adjustments. Right, many of you had to step up, especially Elder Leonard. I feel so bad because now all of the responsibilities, he has to carry them. And he has been doing a great job ever since the beginning of this year, guys. We have a wonderful elder right now. Elder Ken was a great elder in the past. So, you know, we have to be very grateful to God for these wonderful leaders in our midst. And so, you know, once again, this was very hard for me to accept, that because if I were to choose to obey God, that means that you guys have to suffer. Okay, it means that it will cause you a lot of inconveniences or even stress. And that was very difficult for me. But you see, no matter how difficult, inconvenient, or uncertain the future may be, okay, we must all learn to trust God and move forward. We cannot live in the past. And so since I announced to you my decision back in June, I have started to explore ministry opportunities in California. And to my surprise, because everybody told me that, oh, you know, you'll probably find a new church very soon. But to my surprise, it has been a lot more difficult than I thought. So far, God has not opened any doors for me in Northern California. That's where my parents are. And that's where we would like to be. And so I had to extend my search to Southern California. And last week, I was away. I want to let you guys know that I was interviewing with another church. While we felt that we can win very well, but this church told us that they have to vote on certain things. And so the earliest time they can call for a meeting to vote on this would be next Sunday. Okay, so right now we don't know anything. We are just waiting. And so it's hard for us to make any concrete plans so that we can move forward. So at this time, a lot of things are still up in the air. And if you know me, I don't like this. I don't like having no control over my future. I like to know things for certain. I like to plan things out. And so, you know, this is not easy for me, but I know that this is part of the refining of my faith. Learning to trust God even though I don't know what is ahead. okay, but trusting that he will provide, okay, even at the very last minute. And I think for you guys, it's the same thing. As you wait for God to bring a new pastor to you, it can be a difficult process. Okay, you can ask yourself, wow, how long is this going to take? What's going to happen to our church while we're waiting for the new pastor to come? And so I want to remind you that no matter how uncertain things may appear to you right now, we must be reminded and we must continue to trust that God loves us and he knows what is the best for us, and therefore he will provide. I want to show you two passages from the Bible. Can we go to the next slide, please? Thank you. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. I've just chosen the highlights in this passage. And also Romans chapter 8, verse 32. I want to invite you guys to read these two passages with me. Ready? Let us read. Do not worry. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry. And he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Okay, we must remember that no one cares more about you individually and collectively as a church than God himself. Okay, you must be reminded that God will provide for you individually, and God certainly will provide for you collectively as a church. And during this time of transition, during this time of waiting, I want to remind you that God has blessed this church with a wonderful group of leaders. Okay, led the church well in the past, and they will continue to lead you well during and through this transition. And so I want to encourage you guys to trust your leaders, to support your leaders, and go through this transition with your leaders. Okay? In the past month, I've heard a few comments. People told me that, you know, for some reason, Southeast does not attract good pastors. Okay? You have this fear that, you know, no good pastors will come to the Southeast. Now, if I may say so, I think I'm a pretty good pastor, right? 4 years ago when God led us here, you know why we came? Two reasons. Number one, we saw clearly that God was doing something here incredible. And number two, we met a group of fun and loving Christians. And because of these two reasons, I wanted to be a part of this church. And that's why we came in the first place. Okay, and as I shared with you earlier, we had intended to be here for a long time, but sometimes unexpected things happen. Okay, and I want to tell you with all of my heart that it has been my honor to be your pastor. And I dare to say this about your new pastor. Okay, whoever he may be, it is going to be his blessing, his honor and privilege to be your pastor as well. All right, so please don't have this mentality, feeling that no one's going to come to the Southeast. Okay, God is doing something here. You are a great congregation. Okay, whoever comes to shepherd you, that will be his blessing. Okay, and then finally, let me just quickly talk about what should we look for in a pastor. Okay, what should we look for in a pastor? I know that we all have our preferences. Okay, many of us want someone who is very charismatic, who is very dynamic, who is very funny, okay, who is strong, who is a visionary. Whatever qualities come to your mind, I want to remind you, though, these are just our preferences. Okay, what really matters is, now, what does God look for in a pastor? And that is clearly recorded for us in the Bible. All right, so 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 and 7 has given us a very clear list. Pastors in the Bible are also known as elders or overseers. And so in this passage, you're going to see the word overseer. All right? Why don't we read this passage together? Ready? Let us read. Now the overseer must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. And thank you, this section, for reading so loud. I appreciate that. Now, from this passage, we see the most important thing for a pastor is his character. Okay, not necessarily how gifted he is. Of course, you want to find a gifted pastor. Or not how charismatic he is, but his character. This passage tells us that he must be above reproach in several areas. Okay, this doesn't mean that he's going to be perfect, because you won't be able to find a perfect pastor, right? This does mean that when you think about this person, nothing questionable comes to your mind, okay? And so what are these areas? First of all, the Bible tells us he must be above reproach in his character and his conduct. And so that's why the Bible talks about he must be temperate, self-controlled, respectable, and hospitable. Secondly, the Bible talks about he must be above reproach in his family life. Okay, he must be a good husband to his wife, a good father to his children, and a good leader to his family. Third, he must be above reproach in his spiritual life. And that means that he must be spiritually mature, okay, not a recent convert. He must be humble, and he must be able to teach God's word. And then finally, the Bible tells us he must be above reproach in the area to the non-Christians. He must be a good witness to the non-Christians, all right? Meaning that even his non-Christian friends, they may not agree with his faith, they may not agree with his lifestyle, but they will say, you know what, that's a good guy, we trust him. Okay? And that's what the Bible says. That's the most important thing when you look for a pastor. So I hope that this is something you will never compromise. All right? God values character above our giftedness and our personality. So make sure you wait for a pastor with integrity, okay, who is called and gifted by God with a shepherd's heart. And so before I finish, I want to tell you quickly our tentative plan for the next 2 months. Okay, tentative, because once again, we don't have anything certain yet. So in September, okay, my last day here is on August 31st. So next Sunday will be my last Sunday here. So in September, what I plan to do is to visit the churches in our area. Because for the last four years, I've never had a chance to be away on Sundays, because I'm always here. Okay, and I know that we have a number of good churches in our area, so I hope to visit them and learn from them, see how they do ministry. Okay, so while you're not going to see me, my family will still be here. Jackie, Janet, and Joni, they will continue to come here. We have a wonderful children's ministry. Janet and Joni, they love their Sunday school teachers. They love their friends here. And so we want to minimize any changes for them, and so they will continue to come here. And so hopefully, by sometime in September, we will have a better idea of whether we may be moving soon or not. But in any case, I will keep you guys informed. Okay? And so that's our tentative plan for now. In October, my father's birthday is coming up. So no matter what happens, whether we're still here or not, we're going to go home and visit him for a little while. And so once again, this is our tentative plan. Okay? Tentative. Nothing certain yet. Yeah. To end, I want to tell you with all of my heart that it's been my honor to be your pastor for the past 4 years. I want to thank you for having us as part of this church family. Okay, really, with all of our hearts, thank you for giving us this privilege to serve you. Thank you for loving me and my family. And thank you for being our church family in the past 4 years. It is not easy to say goodbye, But we do want you to know that you will always have a special place in our hearts. And we do intend to stay in touch. Okay? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we know that in this world, nothing lasts forever. But in Christ, we know that we do have eternal life. And the relationships we have because of Christ, they will last forever as well. Lord, I want to pray for this precious congregation, this group of people who have been called out of this world by your own purpose. God, I pray that you would encourage them, you will protect them, and that you will provide for them. Even during this time of waiting and searching for a new pastor, for a new shepherd. God, we know that you will provide. So I pray that during this time, as you put our faith to the test and as you refine our faith, help us to do things that will reveal the substance of our faith. Help us to know where we really stand with you. How much do we really trust you? And I know that for many of us, we are going through different transitions in our own lives. I also pray for your blessing on my brothers and sisters here. I especially want to commit Dr. Lowe to you one more time. Tomorrow, he will be having this cardiac surgery. We especially pray for your protection, not only to allow the procedure to go well, but to help him to recover quickly. I also want to pray for Jim, who is also having an eye surgery on Thursday. Lord, we also want to commit that to you. Lord, we realize that our bodies are getting older. Many things are not functioning as well as they used to be. We know that our time on this earth will not be forever. And so while we do want to pray for our well-being right now, most importantly, our hope is in the future. We look forward to our eternal life with you, when we will get a brand new body, when we no longer have to worry about getting sick or this part hurts or that part is not working well. Meanwhile, Lord, help us to be faithful to you. Help us to live joyfully, because we know who you are and we know where we are going. So thank you. Thank you, Lord, for putting us together in the same church family. Help us to walk hand in hand in the days to come so that we know that we are not alone. Not only are you in our lives, but we also have one another. So we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.